I want you to get your Bibles out, please, and I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14. We have been discussing on Wednesday nights the subject of our relationships. Our relationships. Tonight, another lesson on that very same topic. This is lesson number 30, if I have my numbering right. Romans chapter 14, start with verse number 1. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Why don't you stand with me real quickly? We're going to read the first six verses. I'll be referring off and on to these verses. After we've read them, maybe keep your finger in that page for just a little while. It will help you as I teach. Romans chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant, his own master? He standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." That's going to get us started. The sermon tonight is this: your relationship with weak Christians. Your relationship with weak Christians. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Lord, the Bible and the truth of it is powerful. The weakening comes with the teacher. The weakening comes with the listener. Father, I pray tonight that you will strengthen this teacher. I pray that you will strengthen these listeners. And might our weaknesses not hinder the mighty strength of God's Word. Holy Spirit of God, accomplish a supernatural work in this service tonight, please. And help us, Lord, to be better Christians. Help us to be better about this thing of knowing how to handle weak Christians. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Here in Romans chapter 14, God is speaking through the Apostle Paul, and he is saying that there is a right and a wrong way to handle weak Christians. Here's what happens. Sincere, stronger Christians can develop an attitude that they require all or nothing from the other Christians. Even pastors can develop that kind of an attitude. Pastors say, "Sell out or get out." I didn't see Jesus saying that, though. I didn't see Jesus say, "Sell out or get out." I didn't see Jesus say, "You either give me everything or I don't want nothing from you." Thank God that God gives the weak a chance to grow. I'm glad that God gives the weak a chance to grow. You say, "Why?" I need a chance to grow. Did you know you're not strong at everything? And we need this chance to grow. I'm glad that God didn't have an all-or-nothing attitude about me when I was growing in the Lord. Now, many weak Christians do not grow because maybe many weak Christians do not grow strong because strong Christians don't have the right relationship with the weaker Christian. I think there are many churches that don't grow, and I'll tell you why. I don't think they grow because they don't know how to handle weaker Christians. There is a right and a wrong way to handle weaker Christians. Now, the word weak, it tends to be a very relative term, so you know. You know, someone else's weakness And here's how we can do it if we're not careful. If we get a little, become Pharisees a little bit about this thing, you know, that attitude that I was describing, give all, I want all from you or nothing or get right or get out. You take that attitude. Now, if you're not careful, that word weakness, you could see someone else's weakness as wicked, vile, terrible, scum of the earth sin. But then you see your own weakness as sincere mistakes. So when you look at somebody else's weakness, it's terrible. It's nasty. You would never. Then you look at your own weakness and you say, well, it's not so bad. Mine isn't. But that's how we are. We tend to have a better attitude about ourselves than we have about other people. Did you know there are degrees of weakness? And there are degrees of strength. Did you know that you're not the strongest of the strong? Do you know there are people that are stronger than you? If they weren't careful, they'd see you as weak. While you are stronger than another, and you see them as weak, and I guess you ought to treat the weak the way the strong would treat you when they seen you as weak. Did you know, since then you're not the strongest of the strong, maybe the people that you're looking at are not the weakest of the weak. But this thing of weakness, it's relative. There's more moving parts to it than what we might realize. And it's easy for someone who is stronger to be impatient with somebody who's weak. And if not careful, a strong Christian may become critical, hateful, arrogant, even spiteful toward the weak. And that's wrong. But wait a minute. On the other hand, the strong could choose to unwisely become best friends and social buddies with the weak, thereby weakening their strength and possibly self-destructing. You see, you could take, it's not really to me, it's not the high road and the low road, but here's what could happen. You could be strong and go way too far and be arrogant, hurtful, or you could be strong and then end up spending all your time doing things with weak Christians that you should not be socializing with, and so now they destroy you. You say, well, what should we be trying to achieve? There's a happy medium right in the middle. It's called balance. We're not to be so hateful about weak people that they don't have a chance to grow. We're not to be so accepting of everything they do that we go do it with them, therefore self-destructing along with them. There's a right way to handle the weak Christian. And if you were listening, that's how he started Romans chapter 14, verse number 1 out. He's saying there's a way to handle weak Christians. And tonight, I want to talk to you about that very thing. Very simple lesson. If you still have your finger there in Romans chapter 14, I want you to glance at it. We're going to use a couple of verses here, and then we'll jump around to other verses throughout the Scripture. Romans chapter 14, verse number 1, it says, and this is the first point. I want you to notice that he is teaching to the saved about the saved. So this teaching that we're about to see in the book of Romans is to the saved and about the saved. Romans 14, 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, look back at me. The words there, in the faith. These words mean that they have placed their faith in Christ Jesus. So when we're talking about the weak here, we're not talking about the lost. We're talking about saved people that are weak saved people. These words help us realize that there are saved people, but they are weak in their behavior. And this is talking also to saved Christians. So it's virtually saying to the strong, there are weak Christians. So God said, hey, strong Christian, there are weak Christians. And so the teaching is to the weak about, I'm sorry, it is to the strong about the weak. So, listen, no Christian, strong or weak, should be spending all their social time with lost people. So, he's saying to the strong Christian, there's a right way to treat the weak Christian, but the scripture is very clear to say that neither the strong Christian or the weak Christian ought to be spending their social time with lost people. All right? So, point number one this evening is this. The teaching is to the saved about the weak saved. Number two, we are not to receive them to doubtful disputations. Now, look at Romans chapter 14, verse number 1. I'll read it again. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, well, let's do this. Let me change this around a little bit. Number two is this. We are to receive them. You notice there it says receive them. He says a weak Christian, you receive them. The word receive. God's telling the strong Christian to receive the weak in faith. This means we are to welcome them. This means we are to take interest in them. We are to accept them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you know something? If somebody gets saved, they get baptized, they join the church, they are just as much a member at that moment as you are if you got saved, baptized, and joined the church 25 years ago. Because the only thing you have to do to join church, get saved, follow it, by believer's baptism, by immersion, and then choose to join membership with the church. That's all it takes. And the Bible says there are going to be weak Christians. You understand, the mass of people start out very weak. Now, you might have someone that grew up in a Christian home and they've had a lot of teaching and everything, but you understand, if they get saved at 5 years old, they were just as lost as the drunkard and the whore before they got saved. You understand? Lost is lost. Lost is bad. All lost people go to hell. They were just as lost as your five-year-old was before they got saved. Lost is lost. Now, there are some, when they get saved, they know a little more about the Bible because they spent 5 or 6 years in a good home and learned it. But the mass of people that get saved start out very, very weak. So, we are to receive these weak Christians. We're to accept them as brothers and sisters in Christ. They're to be made to feel a part of the church just as one of us would. And if you listened as I read to you the first six verses here, nowhere does it say that these weak Christians are to be accepted into the church and you don't do this, and you as a Christian, like a vigilante, you ought to go to them and you ought to tell them to knock off what they're doing and scare them to death and make them feel like there's something wrong with them when they just got into the church. You see, we have to be careful when we're growing new people. There's a reason why they look like they do, act like they do what they do. They're weak. And God said there's a right way to treat that weak person. And he said to the saved strong, there are saved weak. He said, make sure you receive them. Now we go to point number three. We're not to receive them to doubtful disputations. You look at Romans chapter 14, verse number 1 again, it says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, next thing God is telling us here, these words, notice doubtful disputations. What's that, the word disputations there? That is the word disputes or arguments. This means we've got a weaker Christian in the church. We're not to engage in arguments with them. You're not to get in arguments with them about your differences of opinion, your preferences, if you will, your convictions, if you will. God is not telling you you need to go correct them. I'll tell you something. When it's time for the weak Christian to be corrected, you know, they're going to get most of it through the preaching of the Word of God. They're going to get most of it that way. Most Christians do not have a good enough way about them to correct another person's wrong one-on-one to their face. You're not close enough to them. You don't love them enough. They don't trust you enough. And so if you decide you'll form your own little vigilante group and you're going to go corner a weaker Christian and you're going to tell them how they're supposed to act, God said, don't you start disputing like that with this weak Christian. And that's what the Bible, and so you know, folks, that's what Bible preaching is for. Can I tell you all something? Did you know if you listen to what I say enough up here to help the young Christian to grow. I do. Hey, look, and even if I didn't say enough, we still need to follow the Scripture. The Bible said you're not supposed to be going around starting arguments and disputes with those people. They're weak. But if you will let the preaching do it, I call the roll sooner or later. I will say what needs to be said for them to grow. Now, but let me show you what God is saying here. He's saying, don't you go around starting disputes with these weak Christians. Look at verse 2 and 3 now of Romans chapter 14. He's about to talk about these doubtful disputations. Verse 2, it says, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Brother Bill, did you say amen to eat all things? I'm not shocked. Okay, verse 2 and 3, listen. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Now understand what God just said. God said, strong Christian, there are weak Christians. You're to receive them. You're not to go around starting disputes with them. Now he's about to illustrate it. And he said, here's the illustration. He said, there are some that eat meat. There are some that are vegetarians. But you don't need to go fussing if you say, well, I don't think you ought to eat meat. You shouldn't be going and fussing with them about that. Well, so I think you ought to eat this, or I think you ought to eat that. And he said, well, what are you getting in a conversation like that with them for? They're not ready for a conversation like that. He said, don't be fussing about that. Don't be taking your opinions and don't be taking what you think they ought to do and start an argument with them. And that's exactly what he said. One Christian eats meat, another is a vegetarian. But they're not to engage in a dispute about that. And it is the strong one that corners the weak one and gets into this conversation. And God said, that's not wise. That's not wise. Why? We are growing weak people. Now, let's look at verse 5 and 6 of Romans chapter 4. He's going to illustrate it again. It says in verse number 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. He that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Now, here's what he said. He said, now listen, I don't want you fussing about this. You're going to eat meat, not going to eat meat. Then he goes on, he says, and one sees one day more important than another day. And he said, don't you be fussing about that. He said, don't you dispute about the observing certain days in one way or in another way. Let me tell you what I mean. There's somebody here. You are so strong about Christmas, you think anything other than Jesus, and that's all. You don't see any use for it. And you get very upset if anybody adds anything to Christmas other than Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. You can feel that strong. Nobody's going to stop you from feeling that strong. But when you get somebody fresh and brand new in the church, and they don't understand all that, and you want to take your strong conviction, and you go use it on them about how you feel about Christmas, if you're not careful, you'll destroy them. You'll destroy them. I And I don't prefer the term Easter. I like Resurrection Sunday, but I'm not against Easter. I'm not going to go burn churches down that talk and use the term Easter. I'm not afraid to use the word Easter. But you understand now. I'm not a big promoter of the big floppy bunny. I don't talk about him a whole lot. We don't advertise him here at Christmas. We don't dress up like Santa. But I do this. I'm very careful how I handle it. Very careful how I handle it. I think there are parents here that allow some of that in their home. I've never attacked them. There are parents here that will have Santa in their home, but I have never spoken to them, and I know that they do, and I'm not going to speak to them about it. Why? That's their home. They're going to have to choose to do what they do. And they can tell you there's never been a dispute. And I'm not even trying to create a dispute right now by even bringing this up. But the pastor's not stupid. And what you got to do is you got to realize that you say, I'm strong. Okay, go ahead and be strong. Be as strong as what you want to be. But you got to be careful letting your strength get out of control, because people that are not as strong about something as what you are, God said, it's unwise if you use it against them, or you hurt them, or you knock them down with it. You remember, we started out, he said, there are weak Christians. Then he said, you're to receive them. He said, and don't you go around starting fusses with those weak Christians. They've got to be given a chance to grow. You like to eat one thing, they like to eat another thing. Don't start a fuss over your opinion on that. You chose one day, you chose to promote Easter one way, they chose to promote Easter another way. You need to be careful. Now look, everybody here knows there's no such thing as I'm in a jam, but there's not. And you know it. And we all know the truth about it. But there are people in this room that would start a war over it, to the point that before I can even get that Christian solid enough to understand why we believe what we believe, they've left us and they've not had a chance to grow. And it's because of a lack of wisdom on the part of somebody's strength. So, fussing with the weak about their lack of separation and standards may damage their growth. Now, again, I will preach and teach separation and standards. You say, you're not going fast enough. You just have to understand, I'm grooming a lot of new Christians. I believe what I've always believed, to the T. I've not changed a lick. I may not talk about some things as much as what I would like to talk about, but I got to grow some people so I do not stymie their growth. I've got to get them strong enough so when I do throw a fit about certain things, they've grown and they're able to understand it. And you say, well, you know, I don't want people running around here naked all the time. They don't run around here naked. And we are correcting it. It wasn't that long ago. I told women, I said, you keep your bosom covered up. I said it in a sermon just a couple of weeks ago. We don't need to see, what do they call it, the cleavage? We don't need to see the top of your bosom covered up when you come to church. I'm not afraid to say that. And that needs to be preached, but I'm not going to say it every week, 52 weeks a year. I'm growing people. Now, so you've got to be careful. I believe in separation. I believe in there's a standard of living for Christians, but it's got to be handled wisely. God said, there are strong Christians, there are weak Christians. To the strong, he said, make sure you receive the weak. But don't go around starting arguments with them all the time. They've got to be given a chance to grow. Folks, let me tell you something. I've traveled up and down this country. I've been to the big churches, the little churches. I've visited over and over and over again. And I see lots of things at churches that I would not do at my church. But you know, I don't walk in and say, well, I wouldn't do that, and you better change that, and I wouldn't do this, and I wouldn't do that. I don't do that. You say, why? I usually just keep my mouth shut. You say, why? They're going to need to grow. They're going to need to grow. You say, well, wonder if they inquire. If they inquire, I got to just about figure out how strong they are before I teach them what's right and wrong. Pastor said to me, tell me the top five things that are wrong here. I may give them one of five. You say, why? They'll be offended. They'll be hurt. So, you say, well, I know what's right and wrong. Well, goody, goody for you. There are a lot of people who know right and wrong. The problem that you have is you don't know how much right to say all at one time. There's only so much right that a person can take all at once. Matter of fact, if you'd give me about 10 minutes, I could preach a sermon to make everybody here mad. I could show you how lazy some of you are. I could show you how backslidden some of you are. I could prove to you what's wrong with you, and I could make you feel weak in a moment, in a flash. Everybody here. But I'm not going to do that. Because I would hurt you. And I'm not here to hurt. I'm here to help. Look, when you get an antibiotic, I've got doctors here, they could tell you this. When you get an antibiotic, you don't take it, and they've got it in pill form. I think they still give it in liquid form, Ron. Okay. They don't give you a bottle of antibiotic and say to you, go drink the whole bottle. They'll tell you to take it in a small dose. Matter of fact, with an antibiotic, you better take it on time. They spread it out. We have a problem. It's called sin. You will not take all that out of the life in one dose. It's retracted or extracted a little bit at a time as you pump the Word of God into them, and they're loved and they're groomed and they're trained and they get a chance to grow with it. So, I said, we, the strong, if we can call ourselves that, must realize there are the weak. We are to receive them. We're not to receive them and start these disputes with them. He gave us illustrations, our opinions, our convictions, our strengths. Next, we're commanded to withdraw ourselves from every weak brother who has a disorderly walk. Take your Bible and very quickly turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now, this does not mean that nowhere did it say there that we're to be mean to them. It did not say we're to be unkind to them. The Bible is very plain and very clear about our kindness and our graciousness toward people. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Oh, but it did say, withdraw. We're being taught to withdraw in our social life from the weak Christian. The word withdraw there, it means to lean away from. To lean away from, not cast them into outer darkness. Where is that saved person that's weak to go if they can't come to church and learn? Here, it's not telling us to kick them out of the church membership. It's telling you, as an individual, that when you find a weak Christian that's living a terribly sinful life, you shouldn't be spending your social time with that person. God's telling the individual Christian that their social life should be spent with the stronger Christian. Now, the word disorderly, did you see that word there in that verse? The word disorderly, it's a military term. It means they're marching in life, but they're out of step, or they're out of rank. You say, what does that mean? They are obviously not walking with God. So here's somebody that's not right with God, and God said, Christian, you withdraw yourself from them. That does not mean when they come to church, you turn your nose up, you cuss them, you're not to be mean to them. That's not what that means at all. It means you should not be spending a bunch of social time with them. You should not be spending a bunch of casual time with them. You lean away from them. Now, you have to understand, they may come to church. But if they don't come to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God and teaching of the Word of God, how are they going to get right with God? They need that chance. Teenagers, you listen to me. Look up here and listen to me, teenagers. You teenagers, there's going to be people that will come to our church that are not walking with God. They come to our church, you say hi to them, you be kind to them, you be decent to them, but you don't go out on a date with them, you don't start texting with them, you don't make them your best friend. You're to be kind. Everybody that comes to our youth department is not worthy of being your best friend. But you're not to be rude to them, and you're not to be unkind to them. You're not supposed to try to take them behind the church and beat them. That's not what the Bible teaches. Grow up and realize a strong Christian ought to have the insight to see that someone is a weaker Christian, and they're to be taught and trained, but they're not to be beaten on, cursed, and hurt. That's not what's supposed to happen. The word disorderly means they're not walking with God. They are out of step with God. We don't spend long seasons of casual time with them. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You may be there now. Look at verse number 14. Verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, this doesn't say that we're kicking them out of the church. It says, have no company with them. Let me ask you a question, and I know exactly what this teaches. Listen. Do you know what we call it when folks are coming over to visit our house? Companies coming. Companies coming. This is talking about, you're supposed to not take this backslidden, weak, not walking with God person. You're not supposed to be sharing your casual time with them. These are not the people that you just have over for cookout after cookout after cookout or after cookout or barbecue or whatever you want to call it. It says have no company with them. We see them at church. We shake their hand. We welcome them. We strengthen them. We love them. But we do not become their social companions. You say, why, preacher? Because it won't be long. You'll be weak too. So I was going to pick them up. No, they're going to pull you down. Matter of fact, they probably already have. See, I spend all sorts of time with them, not affecting me. Well, you're disobeying this scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Go quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 5, 11, it says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, or an idolater, a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such and one, no, not to eat. You know what? You got somebody in the church that's fornicating. You got somebody in the church that's being, they're drunk. You get somebody in the church that committing adultery. You shouldn't be having them over to your house just to have a good old time and eat with them. But wait a minute. When they come to church, they're to be treated decently and kindly. They're to be loved. They get to be a part of the church. But you just, in your brain, you say, you know what? I can't spend time with them casually, but I will be friendly and kind and accepting of them as a Christian in church. So, here in 1 Corinthians 5:11, it reinforces it. It uses the words not to keep company. He even clarifies, with such an one not to eat. All right, now, go to Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. Psalm 1:1, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God here is telling us about separation again. He said, you be careful who you spend time with. I think there's a sincerity when someone says, you know what, that person's doing wrong, run them out of the church. I think there's a pure sincerity in why they feel that way. But there's only one problem. God doesn't feel that way. You say, but preacher, if somebody is living a wicked life and they show up at church, couldn't they hurt the church? Yes, but I've got to tell you something. I think there's a certain risk that's involved in salvaging people. God took the risk with you. With you, there are people in here that can be very critical about somebody, the way they're living now. Would you like everybody to know how you used to live? Somebody was patient with you. Somebody helped you to grow. Now, does this mean that we agree
with their wrong?
No, I don't agree with wrong. I'm going to preach against wrong. Matter of fact, I'm telling you right now, there are people that go to our church that live a lifestyle that you should not be spending a bunch of casual time with them. Let them come to church, come in here, sit down, be friendly, sing with us, spend time right here in the public where they're not drinking, where they're not fornicating, where they're not committing adultery, where they're not stealing. They come in here and I'll preach the stuffings out of them, but we're going to love them while we do it. But that doesn't mean you're supposed to go out on the weekend and be partying with them and dating them and all of that. That's the wrong thing to do. But we got to reach them. That's what we were told to do. But we're commanded to withdraw, lean away from. He said, don't have them as company. Don't be eating with them. Hey, that doesn't even mean if we have pizza and somebody is misbehaving and you know they're misbehaving, I don't know, you couldn't have pizza with them right there in the fellowship hall where everybody's standing around. Now, I'll tell you this. If they've got their telephone out and they're looking up pornography and trash in the church building and I find that out, I'll outrule or I'll get rid of that telephone. I'll just tell them they can't bring it. But if you're sitting there having pizza and somebody's got their phone out and they're looking up pornography, you move away from them. You stay away from that. But if you're sitting there casually eating and they're not doing wrong, it's not a sin for you to sit there and have a meal in the church with everybody here, because at that moment, they're not robbing the bank. They're in church. They're in the church setting. Now, let's go on. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. Here's what I've said thus far. God said, to the saved strong, there are saved weak. He said, receive them. He said, don't be arguing with them. He said, you are to lean away from casual contact with them outside the church. Then, here in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he says, we're to support them. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. There's the word weak again. Now, weak is not lost. You understand? Lost is lost. This is a weak Christian that is being referred to here in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. He said, we're to support them. That's interesting. Now, the word support, that word support there, it's like the word anchor. You say, well, how are we to be like an anchor? Stay the same. Don't change. Don't you change for the worse. We're waiting for them to change for the better. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know if I can spend time with them? Let me tell you something. You spend time with the wrong person, they'll pull you down. You won't pull them up. Very, very few Christians can get around somebody that's got mega weaknesses and stand up to them. Very few. But he tells us we are to support. You say, how do I support? You become an anchor. You don't change what you are. That you be friendly, you be kind, and you don't change what you are. Look, I remember when I was when I first got saved. I used to ride to school. We'd take turns. We age 16. We got our driver's license, and a buddy of mine, he would drive one day. I would drive another day. And when we would listen to bad music on the way to school. When I got saved, I heard my preacher preach, you ought not be listening to that rock and roll music. And so I thought, okay, I got to do something about this. Now, when my buddy Jamie got in my car, I controlled the music that was in my car. I could control it. But you know, when it came his turn to drive, he was in his car. I sat there and sweat all the way to school because he was playing his bad music, and I kept thinking, I don't want to listen to this music. And when he rode in my car, I had control over it. Now I'm in this car, and he's playing that music. I'm thinking, well, it's his car, and I don't really have a right to tell him what to do in his car, but I have a right as a Christian to tell him I don't want to listen to that music. I'm going to tell you, I was in turmoil all the way to church, and here's what happened. I didn't have the courage, and the first time I rode with him, I didn't say a word. Then I had to make a decision. I was either not going to ride with him or I was going to ride with him and have backbone and stand up to him and tell him no. So you say, what'd you do? I'm going to tell you what I did. No, you know what I did? I just met with him. For the next time for him to drive, I said, look, I got saved. I know I don't expect you to understand it. I think I'm going to need to start driving myself to school. He said, but why? I said, you don't want to know. He said, I can take it. I said, you listen to music that I used to listen to, but I'm trying not to listen to, and it's very hard. And when I'm with you, I don't have the courage to stand up to you. And so I'm not telling you what you need to do. I'm telling you what I need to do. He said, I won't listen to the bad music then. Okay. Now listen, for some of you though, you get around the wrong crowd, you're weak just like that. So you say, what do? You better stay away. Say, I got this friend, get him to church. Did you know you can't smoke dope in my church? But you can smoke dope at their house. What do? You can't casually go to their house. Why? You smoke dope. You be rock and rolling. You want to change? Everybody, you're all okay, right? Okay. Now, we are to support the weak, but they're not to weaken us. Which means when you get in casual situations, you're not going to do what you're supposed to do, and you're going to weaken yourself. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse number 35. And don't worry, we're getting toward the end of this. Acts 20, verse number 35. We're told again to support. It says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Here, and this word support is not just give them things. It's talking, support is a foundational word. It means stay founded. The way to support the weak is you stay founded. If a boy says, well, I think that girl likes me, but that girl is very weak. So I'd like to help her. Let me tell you the best thing you could do. You stay right with God. And if she really likes you and she'll stick around, you stay right with God. You stay in church. You stay away from casual situations. And your strength will show her what she ought to do, not because you go run and you weaken yourself with her, but because you keep yourself anchored where you're supposed to be. The word support is in reference to your foundation. You are to be rock solid in your example. Folks, weak Christians don't need weak Christians. Weak Christians need rock-solid Christians. So, we are to support them. We're to support them. We're to receive them. We're not to be starting fusses and arguments about things with them. The preacher will, I will cause your, hey, your weak friends, bring them to church. I'll cause enough grief to stir the thing up. If you just say, well, I just want somebody to tell them. You bring them, I'll tell them. I mean, I'm not here teaching on separation tonight, but I've hit enough things in the presence of a lot of people tonight. If you're listening to what I'm saying, we're caring for things. I'm not trying to start a fight. Better off letting me do it in the pulpit than you doing it one-on-one. Okay, so what did he say? And there's one more point and we'll be done. Unless I can think of something good to say again. Maybe. The teaching is to the saved strong, about the saved weak. We are to receive them. We are not to start disputes with them. We, then, are commanded to lean away from casual contact, company, going out and eating with people that will pull us down. Don't get too big of a head about how strong of a Christian you are, because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We then, number five, are to support the weak Christian. Number six, turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, find verse number 1. Romans 15, 1, it says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Here it's talking about the weak. Bear this thing of the weak. So, what's it mean? Now, we heard earlier, we heard the word patience with the weak. We should practice patience in regard to their weakness. Now, I understand something. We're not accepting their weakness. We're just accepting them, realizing they have a weakness. We're to be long-suffering. And that is, I'm to be long-suffering and patient while they're cleaning up their life. Again, we're in no way approving of their weakness, but we're loving them, were receiving them at the church, wanting them to grow. You're helping to bear the load. What's the load? The load for you is your patience while they're not as good as you think you are. And let me tell you again, I want to remind you, I want to conclude here by telling you this. Those of you that have strengths, and you look down your nose at other people's weaknesses, almost to the point where they irritate you, there is somebody that's 10 times stronger than you that could be looking down their nose at you, behaving the same way toward you that you are behaving toward someone else. Because strength is relative. There's some of you, you would say, well, I'm strong in this area. Yeah, but you have other areas where you're as weak can be. There's somebody in this building right now, and you say, Pastor, I am so strong in this area. Would you like for me to point out to you and everybody else your weakness? There are people in here, you're down on somebody because they're weak in a given area, but you have rage, you have a temper that gets out of control. There are people in here, you know, you've got this super big strength when it comes to, let's take your dress code and your separation. But you know what? You've got a filthy thought life, and God knows about it, and you may have a weaker thought life than anybody else in the church, but nobody sees it. This thing of weakness and strength is relative. It's relative. And don't you tell me you're strong in all areas. You're arrogant in all areas when you say that. Strength and weakness is relative. There's somebody stronger than you. There is somebody that is as strong or stronger than you as you are than the weak person that you are comparing yourself to. You say, who? Well, Jesus, for instance. Do you think a bunch of us get to go? If Jesus were here right now, would you get in the strong line and say, I'm strong, Jesus? I want to get in the strong line. We're going to have two lines to shake Jesus' hand. All the strong people get in this line and the weak people get in this line. Who knows the truth about you? Would you all be running for the strong line and say, you got me. I'm the strong one. I know which line I'd be in. I'd be in the weak line. See, it's comparative. Who are you comparing yourself to? See, I'm the best Christian in the church. What a crummy church you're in. So, we're to help them. We're not to become like them. They've got to be given a chance to grow. And they need that chance to grow. But be careful. There's a right and a wrong way to handle the weak Christian. I don't know, but maybe next week I want to teach a lesson on how to handle the strong. Brother Coral's going to preach next week. So maybe 2 weeks from now we'll talk about how to handle the strong, because there's a right and a wrong way to handle strong people too. Well, let's bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. You come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. To everybody, let's let people grow. I don't think you ought to be spending a bunch of time with people that are not walking with God. I think that you ought to spend church time with them. But you better be careful getting too social and too socially connected with people that don't care about the things of God. They will pull you down. So, while we're busy helping and reaching people, I want you on board. But don't destroy your life by spending too much casual time with them. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I think I could grow and learn from what I've heard this evening. God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? And you may put your hands down. We'll have a brief altar call. It won't take long. You don't have to come to the altar to be under conviction after hearing a sermon like this. But we're going to have an altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Remember, weakness and strength is relative. Receive them, yes. Argue with them, no. Spend a bunch of casual time with them, definitely not. Definitely not. Be patient. Give it a chance. I'll tell you what happens. Sometimes we sincerely scare off people that could have grown, but they were not given a chance to grow. Because we feel so blatantly strong about some things. I'm glad you feel strong. Just learn how to control your strength so you can grow. Ushers, if you'll get the prayer sheets ready for me. One more time through the song, one more time.